Been fun. It's been great. I was blown away by that video that's been everywhere at this point. It was tremendous to see that kind of excitement. It was that Tuesday night, maybe, when that video hit with the buses coming in and the trucks coming in. But I've had a great week. You know, I just prepare and get ready no matter where we are, and had a good time. Been here for the last couple days, and people are gracious, and I think they're very excited about the show being here.
What's your Saturday going to be like? What's your schedule?
My schedule is what it is. Anytime I'm in a location where game day is in one spot and the game that I'm calling is in another, we'll start around 6 in the morning or so, waking up and getting over to game day, and on air till, I guess, locally 11. And then as soon as the show is over, I typically go right to a car that gets me to a local FBO, and then I fly to wherever it is I'm going. And then usually when I land, in this case I'm going to Austin for Kansas State, ironically enough, Kansas State and Texas. And I'll go from the hotel, or wherever I land in Austin, to the hotel, watch games, and then head over to the game for Kansas State and Texas. I don't know how many people in the history of college football have ever gone from Fargo, North Dakota, to Austin, Texas in the same day to watch college football, but I will have achieved that feat on Saturday.
Must have been easier prepping for this weekend because you got to just watch the Kansas State.
Exactly. Yeah, it was that, and I went back and week one, I think, of all the games that kind of stood out that week, there was a shock that went across the college football world when that one happened, because nothing against what North Dakota State has accomplished, but of all the coaches, as you guys know, that prepares his team never to overlook an opponent or never show up where you're not prepared, it's Kansas State. And to go to Manhattan, Kansas, the defending Big 12 champions, and not just win the game, but I think the fashion in which they did it, it really, I think, got a lot of people's attention. And I think, even though they've won back-to-back national championships at the FCS level, I think that win probably catapulted them more into the nation's view than anything. And I think it made people, not just game day coming here, but it made people recognize the job that Coach Bull's doing and what this program's about. Because what I said after that game was, this wasn't one of those games where Kansas State laid down and North Dakota State kind of slid in and got a win. They needed to drive basically the length of the field and convert on some third downs with the game on the line and score a touchdown to beat Kansas State in Manhattan, and did it. I mean, that drive, I'm sure for you guys, follow the program, that drive probably signifies probably the biggest, most important drive of this program's history. And I thought the quarterback, Brock Jensen, was amazing in that entire drive. And talking to Coach this week, he said that's kind of who he is. He said we had a very similar drive against Georgia Southern where we needed a drive like that late. And he put him in a position with his decision-making and just his poise to put him in a position to convert and then eventually score a touchdown. So he's an impressive player.
What player on NDC's roster are you most impressed with?
Probably Brock. He's because I played quarterback and because I really appreciate guys who can perform when everything's on the line, he's probably the guy that stands out. Grant Olson at linebacker is a guy that stands out because of his toughness. But I would say that game, that stood out to me. It wasn't just they won the game, it was how they did it and how he reacted to certain, like, pressurized situations. He just, it wasn't too big for him. That was very cool to see.
Kirk, if the show goes as well as you all imagine it will, do you foresee doing a game at an FCS site maybe every year, one year going forward?
Yeah, it could be. A good friend of mine played at Youngstown State in Ohio and when Jim Tressel was there. So I've always known about this level of football and always known the caliber of athletes that play at this level. And with our show, you know, I think we are a little bit symbolic of, you know, the SEC or the Big Ten or the Pac-12, because for obvious reasons. But as you guys know, we have a pretty good history of going to places that are a little bit off the beaten path. And it's been our trademark, always to find one a year. If it ends up being an FCS, then that's great. But we've been to the Ivy League. We've been to Williams College. I mean, we've been to a lot of different places and told a lot of different stories.
Kirk, I know Tom and Chris, both of them, talked about the fact that this gap between FBS and FCS is shrinking. You're seeing more FCS wins over FBS teams. Why are we seeing that? What are your impressions of why we're seeing a school with 22 less scholarships be able to handle a team from BCS Conference?
Well, I think a trend in the F, I call it 1A, the F, what is it, FBS, is we're seeing more and more coaches go out early and recruit, because if they don't, their peers are recruiting kids when they're sophomores and offering when they're sophomores and juniors. And I think when you do that, you really alienate some players who eventually maybe are a little bit late bloomers and guys that maybe sneak through the cracks a little bit. And if the smaller, you know, 1A programs don't get them, then they're open to FCS. And to me, athletically, like when I watch it every year, you know, when you get a chance to watch the playoffs at the end of the year, when you watch those players, athletically, they don't have to take a back seat to what you see in the FBS. The only difference a lot of times is maybe the size, you know. So I think these players, it reminds me of Boise State and what Chris Peterson's built. The great programs at this level have a unique ability to find players who fit their way of running a program, and they play with a chip on their shoulder. And when I watch this team, that's what they seem to do. They've been able to gather players and get them to be able to play with a little bit of an edge. And the only reason that I think we're seeing, you know, upsets now with the FCS being able to knock off the FBS is because of, I think, some players are sneaking through the cracks. And I think the difference is now you spread defenses out with formations. And if you have a Brock Jensen, if you have a guy that can run or can throw or do some things at any level, you know, Georgia Southern, wherever it might be, I think the quarterback today in college football is probably more of an equalizer at any level of football than he's ever been. And it's because of these formations and because of what these quarterbacks can do to defenses. So if you find that guy, I think that's the key to being able to compete with whoever you're playing against.
Is the gap shrinking between the top of 1A and the top of 1AA? There's going to be a lot of Bison fans tomorrow that say, or hold up signs saying, bring on Bama.
I'd be careful of that. You know, I'm excited to be here, but let's not get carried away. You know, I mean, I think, you know, I remember when Appalachian State knocked off Michigan, people were shocked by that. We've seen Georgia Southern be competitive, you know, and people are surprised by that. Youngstown State's, you know, at times been competitive. So when Marshall, before they became an FBS, they had a program that was competitive. But I would not be one, I might be the only one in the room, but I would not be one that would say that the elite of the FCS can compete with the elite of the FBS. I just don't think that's practical and realistic.
What was the game day show like when you were a player on Ohio State? And you didn't ever visit Columbus?
No, it didn't go on the road. I don't think they started going on the road until like, you guys might know, 94 or 5. My last year was 92. But they did have a show. It was just in the studio. And that's why I can relate to these players so much, because when I was a senior, I was a captain at Ohio State, and we were playing at Syracuse, and it was a night game. So all we did was sit around the hotel and watch games. And I'll never forget sitting there watching Craig James and Lee Corso talk about our game and how we were going to get blown out. We had no chance. And I think they said, you know, the Big Ten is big and slow, and they're going up against a red Corvette, you know, and they can't stay with this. And our players are all watching this. And I don't think I ever played in a game where our team was more motivated than that game. And it had everything to do with nothing our coach said, everything to do with what these guys on TV were saying and doubting us. And so now, being in that chair for these last 18 years, I definitely appreciate when we say things on the air, how these players can use that for motivation.
Did you win that game then?
We did. Yeah, we were supposed to lose by a couple touchdowns, and we won the game.
Does that make you a little bit careful with what you say?
No, it makes me actually be more vocal and more intense. I just say what I believe, and what I've learned in our world that we live in today was social networking, Twitter and Facebook and whatever else is out there. If you are in my position and you worry about what people are going to say, then you're in trouble. I mean, you just have to say what you're going to say. It doesn't mean you're always right, but you say what you think, and as long as you really believe that, then you can live with yourself. And it's fun. It's enjoyable to have, you know, a player that gets all riled up, and it's not that you purposely go out to try to upset them, but if they get upset because of something you said, you know, I've had coaches actually call me and say, hey man, can you really get on so-and-so this week and say he doesn't have what it takes, or, you know, can you say our defense is just not good enough? And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'll say that. But yeah, they coaches will actually, they, because they see how it gets their players upset.
Can you share some of your opinions of Craig Bolin and what he's been able to do here?
Yeah, I mean, I knew him when he was at Nebraska pretty well. And, you know, that's the great thing about my job, is you build these relationships with coaches at various programs. And just always really respected everything that he was about, and just been blown away with basically him taking the blueprint from Lincoln and bringing it to Fargo. You know, I think if you look at the characteristics of his teams here and go back and look at the teams that he was a part of as an assistant coach for Tom Osborne, you can see a lot of similarities as far as what we were talking about earlier, kind of playing with a chip on your shoulder, having that workmanlike attitude, being selfless, and just being willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win. It's been impressive, and unfortunately, because of the win against Kansas State and because of all the notoriety, the next thing that happens is people knocking on his door. And that's a great thing for him. He may want to stay here for the rest of his life or his career, and that's great. But I have a feeling that with all the success that he's enjoying, it's inevitable that jobs are going to open. Which ones, who knows. But if they do, he's going to be a guy that I think has done enough here that his name will be surfaced as one of the top candidates, I would assume, in a lot of jobs.
Have you planned to avoid the bison head when Lee puts it on tomorrow, if he puts it on tomorrow?
Well, I would assume he will be putting it on. I try not to know any of his plan. We call it a skit, because it used to just be the headgear, and now it's turned into a whole skit. I have no idea, but it wouldn't shock me. He always brings a dog or some kind of live animal. So I don't know the odds of getting a live bison there, but I don't know if he can fit on the set. But chances are, you know, I'm always alert when Lee makes his pick, and this is a week where I'll be very alert. I don't want to get anywhere near a bull, you know.
What makes a week like this most fun for you specifically?
It's just fun to be able to bring our show to somewhere we've never been. And it's really exciting to bring it to a level of football that isn't used to getting this kind of attention. The video, I think, said it all when our bus and our trucks came pulling in. And to see the excitement, it gave me chills, you know, just to see all these people so excited about their program. And because for us, it's all about you guys, and it's all about these players, and it's all about the coach. We just happen to be a conduit to the fans. We never look at this selfishly. We never look at it like it's about us. Hey, the rock stars are here. We're the last guys to do that. We just happen to bring a show, and it's your spotlight for 48 hours. Let's go crazy and show America who you happen to be. That's really why we're here. It's about your players and your coaches, and this level of football has nothing to do with us. So this is, because that's our approach every week, no matter where we go next week, we just happen to be here this week. It's exciting to see, with that being our goal, it's exciting to see the people taking advantage of selling their school and their city for all that it has to offer. And I think America will be shocked when they see the passion that the folks have here in Fargo for the Bison. Okay.
A little different topic, but being a Big Ten guy, do you have any thoughts on Jerry Kill? And as a player, with the stuff that's going on with Jerry Kill, would that influence you as a player to go
to a school like that?
I don't think with what's happening with Coach would make me go to a school or to avoid that school. But it, as an analyst or a fan of the sport, I worry about him. You know, I every time something like this happens, I don't know a lot about it, but I see it, and I just feel like he must really love coaching, you know, to continue to coach and have to deal with this stuff. And that's a tough situation, and I don't know how it impacts his players, you know, when they're around him, because obviously they care about him. So that's a tough set of circumstances.